104.5 The Zone, 917 The Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop, Kevin Ingram, Jonathan Schaefer is our producer. They're flying around the racetrack at Daytona Sunday. Coverage starts at 12:30 on The Zone for the MRN coverage of the Daytona 500, the Great American Race, and Sky will be part of it. Alex Hayden joins us from MRN. Alex, how you doing this morning?
Hey, doing great. Like most of the country, especially there in Nashville, things have changed drastically. I mean, we've had temperatures in the mid-80s and beautiful Florida sunshine, and I know you guys are trying to squeeze a tear out, but the temperatures dropped. It's a crisp 70 degrees and overcast today on this Friday in Daytona Beach.
What's it supposed to be like Sunday?
Sunday, the weather guessers are saying it's going to be pretty good. They're looking at temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. Mostly sunny. They said there'll be some stray clouds that come overhead, which could cool the racetrack down. But overall, it's going to be a great day, according to the people who get paid to tell us it's going to be a great day.
Yeah, that's right. They get it right some of the time. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is on the pole. But, you know, Alex, for a race like this, is it almost an overrated factor? I mean, it's been a long time since a pole sitter has actually won the 500. It's such a long race and so many things happen that, well, a pole sitter never wins. But, man, it's just so many elements that go into it, isn't there?
Well, it's big because this is the only race of the entire season where you're on those headlines for an entire week. Qualifying was last Sunday, so you're going to be in everybody's headline as the pole winner for the Great American Race for a full week. So that's certainly a benefit. And I think more so, especially for Ricky Stenhouse Jr., this is big for him as far as a self-confidence booster. He spent his entire NASCAR career in two Xfinity Series championships, and his Cup Series career with Jack Roush and Roush Fenway Racing, and they made the change, obviously, in the off season for him to go to a different organization and come right out of the box and win the pole for the Daytona 500. I think that's big for him personally as a self-confidence booster.
What are we going to notice different about, you know, the cars and how they handle? It seems like, you know, each year to the next, there are different things. What's going to be different about this season?
Well, the big thing that's different about this Daytona 500 compared to last year's and others is the tapered spacer that they have on the hood, and under the hood, I should say. Not to get too terribly technical, but we used to have what was called a restrictor plate, which choked off some of the air mm-hmm. intake into the engine. Of course, that mixes with the gasoline, the little explosions, blah, 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 blah. Mm. That's what makes an engine go. But they've changed that. The restrictor plate's gone. The tapered spacer chokes the horsepower down just a little bit. But the biggest thing here in this 2020 Daytona 500 is the rear spoiler on the back of this car, the trunk area. There's a big blade across there, and I say it's big. It's 10 inches tall. It's even got a 1-inch lip that kind of points back towards the back glass. That acts almost like a parachute, if you will. It creates big drag, and if you think about it this way, if a boat's going down the water, it puts out a big wake behind it, where it's pretty turbulent water on the sides of the boat, but if you're directly behind it, it's nice and smooth. The same thing in the premise here, racing at Daytona in the draft. So that's why these cars can go so much faster together, nose to tail, than they can by themselves, because that wake of air behind a lead car forces everybody else to push that pile faster. That big spoiler is going to create a close-up rate where anybody, even if you're one of the underfunded, non-sponsored race teams in this event, you can keep up with the fastest cars in the business. So that's going to be the biggest thing about it is how these drivers manipulate the draft coming off of those big spoilers and the closing rate of speed that they have where they can pull out and make those passes.
Alex Hayden is our guest from MRN getting ready for the Daytona 500 on Sunday.
Well, Alex, I guess give me the odds on what you think about Jimmy Johnson, winning the Cup.
Well, I think they're pretty good. If I'm going to put odds on him, I'd say 12, maybe 13 to 1 on Jimmy Johnson. He still has to prove to everybody that last year and the year before has been kind of a fluke for the 7-time series champion and arguably one of the top 5 greatest drivers to ever strap into a race car. That being said, he's got a full-time season coming up now with his crew chief and the guy that makes those decisions to make the car go faster, a gentleman by the name of Cliff Daniels. And Cliff joined Jimmy as the crew chief late last year, and they had a handful of races together. As a matter of fact, 12, 13 races together to finish the season. They already have a relationship in place. Cliff Daniels was Chad Knaus's right-hand man, his lead engineer, when they won the last two championships that Jimmy had. So Jimmy is very comfortable with what Cliff does. And when Jimmy describes what the car is doing and what it needs to go faster, Cliff understands Jimmy's vernacular, and it's going to be a seamless transition. So that being said, I think Jimmy Johnson is 12, maybe 13 to 1 to win the championship. I do believe strongly that he's going to get back to victory lane here in 2020, and this is final full-time season.
Alex, I don't want you to hold this against me, but I did spend a lot of time there in Muncie, Indiana, going to Ball State, and I am from Indianapolis. And I don't want you to, you know, take it with a grain of salt. This question I'm going to ask you is, you know, looking into the future, do you ever think we'll see electric cars racing?
You know, I love it. First of all, Charlie Cardinal, go Ball State.
Chirp.
My dad's brother went there. So, yeah, we have Cardinal blood in the family. I'm an East Carolina University Pirate. Don't tell anybody out loud. But, you know, we used to have a football team. That being said, it's a matter of how the manufacturers and NASCAR want to work together. Mm. What is the future of the automobile industry? And quite frankly, you pointed it out, electric cars are becoming more and more the norm as opposed to being that odd fad and potentially just a trend that was going to be coming across the country. Well, I think with the technology that we've got in these electric cars, it's becoming more and more a part of everyday life. So that being said, will we start racing electric cars? I can't really say for sure. I don't see that it's out of the realm of possibility. I don't necessarily think it's going to be in the next 5 years or so, because the automobile manufacturers, still the overwhelming majority of all of them, their number one sellers are gasoline engines. So I think that's going to stick around. Now, that being said, come 2021, next year, the NASCAR Cup Series, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be much, much different as far as the race car goes, as far as the engine package may go. We haven't been told any specific details on the engine, but there's some talk that a version of a hybrid might be coming in the near future in NASCAR. And we know what a hybrid does. It stops running when you come to a stop, either a stop sign, for those who actually stop at a stop sign, or a red light. So that being said, in NASCAR, the only time these drivers come to a stop is when they come to pit road. So is it feasible? Is it even realistic? And will it resonate to have a hybrid in NASCAR? Those are the types of questions that these manufacturers and the powers that be that run our sport are having.
Speaking of Alex Hayden, of course, with the Motor Racing Network, and you alluded to 2021, Nashville apparently is going to be part of NASCAR's future, it seems. And talk about where the sport is going, not only with the car of tomorrow, but maybe moving to a smaller venue like Nashville would be, and also the scheduling changes that are starting this year.
Yeah, you know, we'll start with Nashville and the Fairground Speedway. I have been a big, big, big supporter and proponent that we need top cup level NASCAR racing back at Nashville. Not for the first time. If we have new NASCAR fans, we used to race there for years and years and
way,
years.
Way back.
I used to call the old Xfinity Series, the Busch Series races there at the Nashville Fairground Speedway earlier in my career. So it's a top-notch track. Yeah, there's folks in place, and we need to get the city to get on board and get some of the other people to get on board to make this happen. I think it's going to happen. I really do, given the fact that with soccer and the stadium announcement that you guys have had there, that fairgrounds complex is going to become, in my opinion, a great destination, not just an entertainment destination, but perhaps even a great sports destination. And to have that, obviously, you got the Predators there. You've got the Titans and soccer coming. There's a lot of top-notch sports. I'll even put Vanderbilt University in there with you guys as far as top-notch sports.
There you go.
That's Southeastern Conference. I mean, that's SEC. So you need NASCAR to be a part of that and to continue the growth of the sports there in the greater Nashville, Tennessee area. I think it's big to come. As far as the changes this year, I mean, obviously, we're in Daytona here in our traditional kickoff of this season, but unlike years gone by, we will not be here in Daytona 4th of July weekend. We'll be at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Brickyard 400. They moved Daytona into August as the last race of the regular season before we begin our playoffs. Among other things, Martinsville Speedway in Virginia going to its first ever Cup night race. There's a lot of big changes here in the 2020 schedule. However, 2021, here we go again. There's going to be some even bigger changes to our schedule. Nothing official yet, but there's a lot of buzz going around in the garage area that we may end our season in the month of September, perhaps even early October, as opposed to ending it mid-November. That way, it gives everybody a longer off season, because when you look at the time frame, not by how many events we race, but how much time on the calendar it is, NASCAR has the longest professional sports season in all of professional sports. We go, obviously, February through November, and that's just a long, long, long time to keep everybody, including race fans, glued and more importantly, sticking with the sport. Because after a little while, it gets to a point where, you know, you get to the summer months, I can miss a few races. I don't have to listen to them on the radio. I don't have to watch them on TV or have to keep up with it, because I know I can have my entire summer and still have 2 months of NASCAR to go once the summer ends. So it's that old thing. You got to give people a reason to miss you and want you to come back.
Alex, we hope you'll come back with us again sometime. We appreciate it this morning.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks so much for having me on. Thanks for being a part of the NASCAR family and the Motor Racing Network family, too. You guys are great. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Looking forward to it on Sunday. Alex Hayden of MRN will have coverage starting at 12:30 here on The Zone for the Daytona 500. 9:29 the time. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. T.C. Cope's going to be with us. He'll be at Zany's this weekend. He'll be our guest coming up shortly here on The Zone. Hang around.